You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You are here on a Friday afternoon morning. It's Friday morning. What's wrong with me? Good Lord. I can't read. I can't speak. I don't know what day it is. Christmas is almost here, and I have most of my shopping done, so I'm a functional adult. But you are here today, and we're happy that you're spending your time with us. We are able to be reached by calling or texting 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Lots of shows still ahead for you after the 10:30 news. We're going to be doing some audio sorbet. That's where we take a moment to step back from all of the news, from all of the stuff. It's a lot taken in. And we're going to lighten it up. We're going to be talking about what are you watching over the holidays? Do you have traditions? Going to just binge on some shows? Are you going to go see a big movie that's coming out about blue people? Calvin hates it when I talk about that stuff. But yeah, we want to know about what you're doing this holiday season. And also, this shouldn't be a thing at the end of the show. Today, it is the, I believe I called it the finger licking good across. No, I called it something else. Calvin, I forgot what I called it. Finger licking good overseas edition. That's what I called it. There it is. Boom. But join us. We want you to be here. We're talking right now to Jim Santel. He is the host of Amicus, a law review, which is on Civic Media every Saturday morning, 9 a.m. to 11 live. You can also catch it by going to civicmedia.us/shows. You can download it as a podcast like you can all of our shows. But either way, get on board because that is a great program. And we were talking before about the case of Hannah Dugan. We're continuing that conversation because there's really it's not just about the case itself, Jim. It's about the ripple effects through the action itself, what was decided going forward, how to deal with these sorts of events taking place. Before we do that, I got some people on the call lines that have been waiting patiently. Jean from Eau Claire, how are you doing, my absolute independent queen of Eau Claire?
Hey, Jean.
You guys are so sweet. I love you. Hey, by the way, I'm looking forward to number 177 tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I haven't missed one. I strongly recommend. I've watched on YouTube, and you can see previous great programs, and I highly recommend it to everybody. Better than college school, I got to tell you that right now, having gone. Anyway, I want to quick mention something here. I feel really bad for this judge. Mm-hmm. Her whole life has been interrupted and injured by these, I'm sorry, but this is my opinion, idiots and these people that are just trying to raise havoc. And yeah. I remember when those different states sent busloads of immigrants and dropped them off, like in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. in you know, the other places that they're now going after people. And you know what? If I was a judge, I would have did the same thing and having them not interrupt my courtroom. I don't get this. And yet the people that raised havoc on January 6th and hurt people were let go. So I'm just so confused.
Yeah.
You straighten me out here. Thank you very much, guys, and keep up the great work. Bye.
Thank you, Jean from Eau Claire. Apparently, Jean from Eau Claire brought to you by Civic Media, who she knows all your episodes. She's the queen. She is the president of the Jim Santel fan club. Cindy on the live stream. Cindy on the phone line. Are you there for us now?
I am.
There you are, buddy.
Thank you. First of all, I hope Jim's show isn't going anywhere after the first of the year like a lot of these others. Mm-hmm. But my comment today is we have a convicted felon representing us as the President of the United States. So I have no problem with the convicted felon being on the Wisconsin Circuit Court because I am freaking tired of the double standards from these Republicans.
Yeah. Understood. And that's a fair case to make, Cindy. Thank you so much for the call. That's another probably 2-hour conversation in and of itself. You know, when Gene brought up January 6th, I could go to the 3rd Congressional District and talk to their representative and say, hey, you tell us about the day you were there. I mean, that's what we've done in this country. We've elected a man to the Congress who was at January 6th. But my point, coming back to Hannah Dugan, is a couple of things I want to get couple of things I want to get out of the way. Really quick questions for you, Jim. First of all, since Hannah Dugan, no other judge has been arrested, correct? On a statewide level.
That's correct. There was a judge in a couple of years back on the East Coast suffered the same kind of thing. But this is, again, we hesitate to say unprecedented, but nobody else in this category. It is in and of itself, as both Gene and Cindy have implicitly said, this is extraordinary. This is extraordinary to arrest a sitting judge.
And the next answer for me kind of takes me in the direction I want to go with the conversation. She has been suspended by the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and that is you cannot deny that it is a more liberal court. So they took the steps to suspend her. She is suspended with pay, if I'm not mistaken.
That is correct. Administratively with pay.
And she has not been detained in any sort of facility. She has currently on her own recognizance. She's at home. She is, with the exception of going to work and going through this, she is living a life where she gets up, has coffee, watches TV, that kind of thing. So while there is some upending, the, I guess, total, I don't know what the term would be used as. I guess for me, the point is here, Jim, is there was a lot made out of the pictures of the handcuffs, of the perp walk to the courthouse. There was a lot made out of the story. It was national news headline. And here we are now, and it hasn't really pushed the agenda of going after judges who may disagree with you. And while we see the White House trying so desperately to prosecute their enemies, you have someone like Brad Schimmel, who's a newly appointed U.S. attorney, saying that's not part of the plan. That's not what we're doing. It kind of is true, as they have not arrested any other judges, but it feels like to me that this was really all about the shock and awe of her being dragged to the courthouse in handcuffs. And then once that was done, especially since she wasn't put in jail, and there's not really a lot to this case as far as like it's not, you know, it was decided. It's done. They really got what they wanted out. They got their picture. They got the headline. They can point at her. And then they moved on to other things. But we still have a person who is now out of a job, and we'll have to go through appeals, and we'll have to go through the process. And so really, what good does it serve them to do these sorts of things?
Right. And you've got it just right. And the process you just described will be an extended one. Right now, it's going to happen in the next few weeks or so. Defense is going to file some motions arguing that the jury verdict is inconsistent. They're called motions after the verdict. The judge will almost certainly deny those. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, he will schedule a sentencing. There's going to be a pre-sentence report, all kinds of memorandums written about that. My guess is sometime, maybe in May, maybe in June, there'll be a sentencing here. And then even after that, that's when judgment will be entered. Even after that, as does any criminal defendant in the federal system, Hannah Dugan has the right to appeal to the Seventh Circuit. She almost certainly will do that. That could take, again, 6 months to a year. Mm-hmm. And the point of this, which is important, is that she is on release. She never should have been arrested in the first place. She's not a risk of flight, not a danger to the community. I can't think of any other circumstance. Again, it's an unprecedented thing to arrest a judge. But any other white-collar situation like this, you do not have someone who's a violent criminal where you would have arrested someone, brought them in, and almost immediately, again, reaffirmed last night, but immediately when she's brought to the court, the decision is made that she is not a risk of flight. She's not a danger to the community. Go on your own recognizance. And that's where she is this morning. Her life continues, as Gene and I think Cindy have both said this morning, not without great disruption and great consequence. And here's the other point of all of this that supports your thesis that, again, what was this all about? She will be sentenced under things called the sentencing guidelines. You and I and Jane have talked a lot about this in the past. She is almost certainly in a very low category. She doesn't have a prior criminal record. The offense conduct itself doesn't have any tendrils, which I think you're also getting to. There's no conspiracy out there with other judges. There's no next case to do here. This is a very, I don't want to say it's limited in its scope. It's important, but she will almost certainly be sentenced by this judge, probably to some term of supervised release. You might think of it as probation, maybe for 6 months, maybe for a year, maybe a fine. My prediction is she will never be in custody, right?
Yeah.
As she was at the time of her arrest, goes to your point, which is what are we doing here? It was for that shock and awe of the notion, look what we can do to someone who does not cooperate with us, who sees differently from us. We're going to arrest you. And the message there is far beyond Hannah Dugan. It is to tell everybody, whether you're a judge or not, you cross us, and this is the power that we will exercise. And that's where I take great exception to what has happened here. We embrace the jury system, right? We acknowledge that they made their decision, but there's an awful lot about the decision, the way this was executed, and the motive and the intent of the Justice Department and of this president. That should be the focus of our present discussion.
And something you mentioned in the conversation between the breaks here, you said something, you mentioned this is something that should not be celebrated from any sector. This is not something to, nobody won. Nobody should be shooting off fireworks. This is not something to be excited about.
Thank you so much for raising that. Again, if there's anything that I would encourage your listeners, and I know they will do this, and everyone out there, no celebration on either side. If she had been acquitted, there's no celebration. Why? Let's repeat what I've always said on this wonderful broadcast. Criminal prosecution is human tragedy from start to finish. Absolutely necessary. I spent 30 years doing just this. Why? Because you need to establish rules and regulations, exactly what you just talked about, Greg. They need to be enforced. But we never forget the fact, which was also implicit in what Gene said, Cindy said, this is a human being. And the entire process is tragic, right? It's a tragic for Hannah Dugan, undeniably, at the top of the list. It's tragic for our judicial system that a judge has not been on the bench now ever since April. It's tragedy for everyone in that courthouse. It's tragic for the staff. I would offer to you it's tragic for the larger community. Why? Because the system, for good or wrong, decided that this person needed to be brought, maybe charged, based upon a identification of a violation of law, brought into the system, tried in front of a jury, convicted now, going to be sentenced. There is nothing to be celebrated about that. You can talk about the merits and demerits of the prosecution, but don't anybody say out there that I am happy that she is prosecuted and that she is facing jail. And I will tell you one other thing that happened last night, and I responded to this very strongly. We have a congressman, his name is Tom Tiffany. He posted, he's since withdrew it, a post that said, she has been convicted, lock her up.
My God.
How dare you? How dare you, Mr. Congressman? That is a rescission of everything that I just talked about, the process that we all embrace, including the jury system. We regard the jury verdict as being sacrosanct. But don't you minimize and don't you throw this entire process into a dustbin by simply saying, lock her up, throw away the key, and let's be done with this. That is unconscionable, especially from a congressman who should be teaching us better.
And who is also running for governor, by the way. So if you want to keep that in the back of your mind when you're thinking about the candidates you might be choosing. It's better to have leadership than catchphrases, but you know, he deleted it, Jim. It's like it never happened. Point is,
he did. Yeah. Gone this morning.
Yeah. We got Jim for one more segment. This is a lot. We're talking about a lot, and we're going to move next. The next thing I want to talk to you about is we're going to be talking about an executive order that came out of the White House, I think it was yesterday, about the legalization of something. And I want to talk about the implications of that. Again, the executive order and why. But all that coming up after we come back from getting some snacks, some water. Stay hydrated. Be amazing. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned. Stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host. You are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network, and you can always get in touch with us by calling or texting. It is the exact same number. It is 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are currently on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. And we have lots more to talk about. We got Jim Santel here. He's still our guest. He stuck around. That's right. We slipped a little extra into his pay packet. It was all in pretzel bites. All in pretzel bites. And we're just going over all the big news coming out of the world of law. And the biggest one here in Wisconsin is the decision of Hannah Dugan. We talked about that at length, and we'll probably be talking about it much more. I'm sure you'll be discussing it tomorrow on your show, Amicus, a Law Review, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Tune in or listen to it on the website, civicmedia.us/shows. Download it as a podcast. But It's a great discussion. It's a monologue, but it's also you interact with listeners and you inform, and I think that's fantastic. So I want to switch gears a little bit here and talk about an executive order that is being now. Forgive me. Has it been signed, or it's being talked about being signed? The lessening of the criminality of marijuana here in America.
Right. And again, in the category, my friend, of when our president does something good on this broadcast, you and I and others, we acknowledge that, right? And this falls into that category. We're balanced. We embrace that. So he has, yes, effectively entered an executive order. There are some more things that have to be done. Of course, it's government administrative things to accomplish this. What's going on? Up until, again, recently, and this has been a longstanding push by the Biden administration and others to reclassify marijuana. It has been classified up until now as a Schedule I controlled substance. Mm-hmm. And what is also in Schedule I, things like methamphetamine, LSD, cocaine, all sorts of other highly addictive drugs.
LSD is a Schedule I?
Yes, exactly. And marijuana is in that same category. And so I will tell you, I'm very proud to have been part of an administration long ago under Eric Holder and Barack Obama said, wait, what are we doing here? Yeah. He began to take some efforts to try to work through that. Why? Because when it comes to prosecutions, when you are sentencing someone or prosecuting them for marijuana offenses, which again, the federal government doesn't do a whole lot of anymore because of Eric Holder, when we're doing that, still, you're at this very high level. And if you equate marijuana with LSD and methamphetamine, your sentence could be almost as dramatic mm-hmm. as if you've been practicing or trafficking in those. So that's one thing it does.
Okay.
By what he's done is basically he's removed it from a Schedule I to a Schedule III. There's also Schedule Five.
Does that mean if you get arrested, they're like, come on, man, instead of like throwing you away, right. Like, dude, be cool.
My Schedule Five includes Robitussin. Okay. I've got a little cough right now. So, you know, they're all these drugs, they're all classified. This goes now from a 1 to a 3. And the other big things that it does are these, again, moving toward that time, including here in Wisconsin, both medical marijuana and general legalization. Which should happen. It also enables now the federal government, again, as this happens, and it almost certainly will, to engage in more research on the extent to which this longstanding question, what are the long-term impacts of marijuana use? Is it addictive? There have always been restrictions on that, and it has great economic consequences as well. For those places, including Illinois, for example, just to our south, other places, the fact that it's been in this higher category has meant that they could not take tax benefits for rent mm-hmm. and payroll. And so it enables them to be a little bit more economically viable, again, in this third category, and opens up economic opportunities for states and for the particular entities that are selling legally marijuana in a place like Illinois and other states. So got a lot of good benefits to it. And again, something that should be embraced.
Well, and Brett, listening on WAUK says it was signed yesterday, but it really means very little. It's a good thing, yes, but it doesn't mean anything to those of us that don't have large amounts of weed to sell. The question I have, though, is that, you know, the reason why I wanted to talk about this is that, like, the conversation about legal marijuana, both in the state of Wisconsin, because we are far behind our other brethren and sisterin and fraternities in the Midwest. But also, I think it calls to light the fact that when the president signs an executive order, that just doesn't mean like, yeah, it's done. Right. It means there is more to happen. And I think the problem we have is that people will say, oh, the president signed an executive order, and they'll go, they don't listen to it's been reclassified. They just say, president, marijuana, legal, let's go. But there are steps involved because for now, he doesn't have the all-consuming authority to do those things. But people need to be aware of what this actually means. And when we talk, hopefully you can be here next week. Well, I don't know. It's a short week, so maybe we'll see. But
I'm with you.
Yeah. I guess my point is I want to talk more about with you about the executive orders. I know we've talked. It's been big, big in the headlines this year. It seems like every time we turn our heads, 70 executive orders have been signed. But the real power of them, what they mean, kind of their history, we can discuss that another time. And I do want to come back to Letitia James another time, because I feel like with the grand jury not choosing to indict her for now. This is the third time they've tried and they're out. You know, in baseball rules, they're out. But I want to discuss that too and what that means for this movement to prosecute enemies and prosecute those who stand up against you. But like I said, we could talk for another 5 hours and we probably would only scratch the surface. Jim, I really appreciate you being here today. I really appreciate your time. Amicus, a law review every Saturday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Catch it here on the radio, on the Civic Media app, or listen to it back as a replay at civicmedia.us/shows. Jim, have a wonderful weekend. I'll talk to you tomorrow, my friend.
Great to be with you as always, my friend. We'll see you tomorrow. Happy holidays to everybody.
Yes. When we come back, we have ourselves some audio sorbet. We're talking about Christmas movie watching, new movies coming out, celebrating a classic, and this shouldn't be a thing. Finger Licking Good Overseas Edition. Don't go anywhere. Listen to Matt and Air on Air. Stay tuned, stay informed, stay close. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I'm your host, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can call in, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842-855-75-CIVIC. You can also leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform we still call Twitter. Still got a lot coming ahead. We got ourselves This Shouldn't Be a Thing coming up after the break. That is the Finger Licking Good Overseas Edition. And, of course, we are now in a part of the program we love to call Audio Sorbet, where we take a moment, step back, have some fun, and ask some really great questions. And I want y'all to be a part of this. A lot's happening right now, but let's start with this. If you heard the intro music, that was My Heart Will Go On by the French-Canadian goddess Celine Dion, because Titanic was released 28 years ago today. And Calvin, have you seen, I think I know the answer to this. Well, actually, no, I don't, based on another conversation we have. Have you seen Titanic?
You definitely do know the answer to that question.
Yes?
No, the answer is no. I have not seen Titanic.
Well, the reason why I didn't want to assume this time, because we've had this discussion, you watch some movies, you don't watch all the movies, you watch clips, then that's fine. That's how people take in media nowadays, and I have no problem with it. I sometimes do the same thing. Instead of watching a full movie, I'm like, let me just find my favorite parts and watch that on YouTube. But you also, is it fair to assume that you are a fan of James Cameron because you are a fan of the third installment of the Avatar film coming out this week?
Well, I can't say I'm a fan of the third installment yet. I haven't seen it.
You're a fan of the franchise. That silence tells you everything, folks.
Well, I like it. Okay. I don't want to go as far to say I'm a fan.
Yeah.
Like, I don't own them, and I see them once in the theater, and that's the only time I see them.
Well, the fact that you see it in the theater alone is a big deal, though. The fact that you see it in the theater, Calvin, is a big deal, right?
Sort of, I guess, but it's kind of one of those movies in my eyes that, like, if you don't see it in the theater, you kind of missed the point of it.
And I understand that. And I don't disagree with you. I think there are movies that definitely have a quality where to see them in that setting makes all the difference, specifically what they're designed for. Avatar is designed to be on a giant screen surrounded by all the speakers with other people taking in which is absolutely a visual experience created by and revolutionized by the director of Titanic, Mr. James Cameron. He's been revolutionizing special effects in films for over 30 years, probably actually closer to 40 years now. And Avatar 3 Wild Weekend Out, is that what it's called? Avatar 3 Wild Weekend Out, or is that what it's called?
It's Fire and Ash, I believe it's called.
That was way off. That comes out this weekend. Both the other movies, I think, have a combined total of $5 billion made between them. And I feel like that, you know, it seems like that's trajectory. People love these movies for the visual experience. I won't get into what I think about it. I'm not a fan personally. I feel like I'm getting into it. I feel like it's a little overhyped, but, you know, obviously I'm wrong because the first one is still, I think, the top grossing film of all time. So clearly I'm in the minority and, you know, who cares what I think? But I want to know your thoughts. Are you going to go see the new Avatar movie? Do you love that movie? What are your thoughts on Titanic? What are your memories? Did you see it in the theater? That's another movie that needed to be taken in the theaters. Was, I believe, at one point also the top grossing film of all time. And a fun piece of history fact about that is that it had one of the most chaotic productions ever. And it was constantly in the news for the fact that people were like, James Cameron is building a Titanic. They are spending so much money. This could all go downhill. This could, and it didn't. He definitely made his money and everyone did just fine. But I want to know from you, what do you think about that? And then a third question too. Lots happening in audio sorbet. What are you doing for the holidays, TV movies-wise? Do you have movies that you always watch over Christmas time? Do you have a family tradition of watching certain movies? Are you going to be opening up a new show? Are you going to be, you know, taking care of one that's already existed? Are you going to be rewatching? Sometimes just sitting there in your pajamas and saying, I've watched Justified 38 times through, but you know what? It deserves another watch through. I may have missed something. So I want to know from you what you're watching. Are you going to go see the new Avatar film? Thoughts on Titanic? Lots of questions for you. We have Cindy on the phone again. Welcome back, Cindy. How are you doing? What's your thoughts on, is it Avatar? Is it Titanic? What do you do for the holidays?
Well, friends of mine are going to go see the Song Sung Blue on Christmas Day.
Yes.
And I probably will go see Avatar during the Christmas holiday because I'm off school.
Okay.
So I do love the Avatar series.
You do?
Because of what it stands for.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, it stands for the, you know, saving the earth and saving humanity. And mm-hmm. I don't know how anybody could be opposed to that. And you're right about Titanic. The Titanic movie was obviously much better on the big screen, but I have seen it several times on this, you know, just my TV. But the Titanic is going to be one of those ships that never dies just because of the love affair that people have with this. That and the Edmund Fitzgerald, those mm-hmm. two ships will, I think, be around for the next 100 years.
Cindy, while I have you here, can I ask what I think may be, can I give you an opinion that I think may be controversial, but I want to get your thoughts on this. Let me ask you this. So as a young kid, I was handed a book on the Titanic and I read it cover to cover and I was fascinated. And I was fascinated by the lore, the history, and the tragic episode, the tragic event, what happened, how it affected people and shipping, or the shipping industry and all the, or not, boating industry, I should say. I felt like the movie for me personally kind of took all of those things and wrapped them up behind the scenes of a fake love story. And I felt like the love story, while great, and who doesn't love a good love story, but I also felt like the people who were real in that movie didn't get as much play, and therefore kind of like, oh, they're the background players for two people who didn't actually exist. I know.
That's Hollywood.
Yeah. Yeah. I have the same opinion about Pearl Harbor, too. I have the same opinion about Pearl Harbor as well. It's like, you got to make a story. I get that. But I feel like there could have been a great historical story that could have been the centerpiece of that movie. Visually stunning, beautiful. But that was always that was the thing that always, you know, burned my grits on that one. Thank you for calling, Cindy, again. Love hearing from you on both the civic-minded stuff and the fun stuff. We're talking right now during Audio Sorbet about the new Avatar movie. Titanic is 28 years old. And what do you do during the holidays? And Jenny on the live stream bringing the fire. Avatar is just Fern Gully with modern age digital effects. Here comes Calvin. And she wraps it up with, I said what I said.
I don't have a problem with this take because it's right. But I have a point of contention, being that all stories are derivative. So I don't think it's really that much of a criticism.
Okay. Fair. Fair. We welcome all opinions unless you like coconut, then get off of my show. She goes on to say Titanic was the last epic film made largely using traditional movie making techniques such as set building and replicas. Actually, I disagree. Calvin, help me out here. Batman, Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan, I think, is still utilizing, he's still using real film. And if you haven't seen the trailer for The Odyssey, I think that is going to be mind-blowing. And I don't disagree. I think a lot of filmmaking is left to CGI now. And you can, try all you want, we can still tell. But people like Christopher Nolan, in epic filmmaking, he's still using as much practical as possible. I mean, they detonated a bomb in Oppenheimer. I mean, that's both cool and disconcerting at the same time. Jeannie is my co-host today. I'm just going to call Jeannie my co-host. Jeannie says, The Family Stone and Just Friends annual viewing annual viewings are complete. The Family Stone's a wonderful film. Makes me so uncomfortable because I'm like, just please be nice to her. She's just trying to like you and be loved. And then finally, for this weekend, I plan to watch The Sound of Music and fit in White Christmas for the fourth time this season. It's a Wonderful Life. It's so wonderful. It's saved for Christmas Eve. That's wonderful. That's great. Love hearing from Jenny on the live stream. If you want to get in touch with us, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We have someone on the text line. I don't know who it is. Who is it? Who's talking to us? I'd love to know, but you're listening to us. Says, love Titanic, one of my favorites. Kate Winslet was so pretty. I would venture to say she's still pretty. Keep rocking, Greg, and Sweet Cal B on the ones and twos, LOL. Thank you so very much. Love hearing from us. Love hearing from you about us, and we're doing a good job because we want to keep doing the mission of Matt and Air on Air. And Chris Casper, listening to WAUK, I happened to be working at Hal Leonard Distribution Center when the Titanic came out. I picked orders. 90% of the orders I picked during that time were Titanic sheet music. I got to the end of the aisle one day and saw an exit door. I walked out and just kept walking. I get that. I mean, that tin whistle can really stick in your brain. I think that, you know, regardless of your opinion, and I have a lot of opinions on Titanic for many reasons, but it is an epic film and it is a beautiful film and it is done really well. And it means a lot to a lot. Like, my mother still loves Titanic. Is anyone here going to go see Avatar? Calvin, are you going to go see Avatar like soon? Or are you going to wait a little bit, maybe during the holiday break? Like, what is your plan for that?
Normally a movie like Superman or Supergirl, Star Wars, one of those movies, I will see the Thursday night premiere when it comes out.
Yep.
Avatar wasn't that important to me, but I don't have anything going on. So me and my buddy are going to see it on Saturday.
There you tomorrow. Go. I love that. I love that. Now, do you and the Butenhoff gang, do you guys have any watching traditions? Is there a movie you watch on Christmas Eve? Are there shows that you guys watch together? Is there anything that you do as a family to celebrate the holidays that involves the television?
I cannot say that we do. I honestly, this probably won't come as a surprise to you, Greg. I really can't say I like Christmas movies. I think.
No. I'm sorry. You're right. Okay.
No, I know. I'm not even saying. Even beyond Christmas movies, I don't know. I think Harry Potter is always fun to have on during this time of year, but we don't have like a point of putting it on.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. It's interesting. I just like hearing what people have to like, because it can be watching, you know, It's a Wonderful Life like Jenny's doing. And then some people are like, yeah, we watch, because I was going to say Deliverance. Why did I want to pick Deliverance? What a weird movie to pick. But just some out of left field because it just happens to be what you watch. And when I was growing up, not when I was growing up, actually, when my niece and nephew were born, we started a tradition every Christmas Eve. We'd hang out. And then at one point, we'd all go up to their parents' bedroom and we'd turn on the TV and we'd watch the Polar Express. And we did that for years, years and years. And then finally we got to the point where I felt like, okay, they're a little too old for that. It's fine. And then the next year after that, they went upstairs and watched it themselves. And it melted my heart into heart puddles. It was so amazing because they just want to keep that tradition going. I, of course, have seen it enough. They can have the tradition. They can have it for their kids. I've seen it a lot. But I love that we had that. Brett says, you are spot on about Titanic and Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor CGI was great, but the plot was horrible. The remake of Midway with Woody Harrelson is great. We are Buddhists, so we don't do Christmas. Okay, that's great. Thank you so much for getting in touch with us. Thank you for letting us know about your holiday traditions. And if you want to send us more, just keep on texting, keep on calling. We'd love to hear from you. And if you have any ideas, you can always email us, janesays@civicmedia.us. When we come back, because I hear Celine in the background, she's coming back here. Coming back for the rest of the show, we have This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Finger Licking Good, Overseas Edition. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay tuned, stay informed, stay close.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matinair on Air. My name is Greg Bach. I am your host, and you are listening to us on the Civic Media Radio Network. You can call or text anytime you'd like. We are here, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Leave a comment on the live stream. We are on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that we still call Twitter. Very happy to have you here today. Couple things before we get to Tizbat. First of all, a couple more live stream comments. PJ says, no movies for me. I'm just playing video games on my Xbox all weekend. I need to try to finish Fallout 4. We're asking people what they're doing over the holidays. It's movies, going out. What are your traditions? Jenny comes back with, a lot of folks catch up on big movies that come out over the year when everyone is together. I agree with that. My family's tried to go out to see a movie a couple of times. Does not go well. But that's another story. And then Curtis says, Scrooge, Polar Express, Grinch, our family traditions, all wonderful, wonderful films. And then finally, Carmela on the text line listening to WAUK says, I'm more on the comic side of holiday movies. Definitely Bad Santa, maybe Elf 2. I'm with you, Greg. The love story was nonsensical and Titanic. I fast forward through the scenes of them running around the ship and go to the end when the ship is sinking. That is Carmela. Thank you so much for reaching out. Everyone for reaching out. I appreciate you. And I appreciate you sticking with us here in the show. Jane has retired. It is Calvin and I at the helm with our senior producer, Tucker. We are creating a show for you that is continuing the mission of Matinair on Air. Some things may change, but the heart is still there. We're going to keep the conversation going. And really quick, we got a comment yesterday in the text line that, or on the live stream, talking about changes here. You know, Pat's show ended as of this morning, and that's a shame. And Jane is gone and other things happening, but that doesn't change the mission of Civic Media, what we're trying to do, the conversations we are trying to have, engaging you and the people who may not disagree, who may not agree with us too, to have conversations about things that affect us here in Wisconsin, in the United States, and keep moving us further towards democracy. But that mission has not changed and it will not change. And we want to keep it alive here on Matinair on Air. We thank you for your time. We know it's precious and it is noticed and we are grateful. So I wanted to get all that out before we move on to it. Also next week, we only have a couple days, by the way. We will have a best of replay on the 24th. And then from what I understand, the 25th and 26th, there's going to be Christmas music. So we'll be here live Monday and Tuesday, and we'll be talking about staying healthy in winter. We're going to be talking to the ACLU. And we're just going to be having great discussions about what is affecting us in the new year with regard to elections, what's going on with, you know, it's we want you to be here. Stay with us. It's great. We love you. Right, Calvin?
Yes, of course. We love all our listeners.
Even the ones who don't like us. Say, we're very, very late. It's time for another edition of
This Shooting.
If you ever have a thing that should not be, send it into Calvin and me at Jane Says. Jane Says still works. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. If you have a thought, idea, tisbat, guest, topic, send it to us and we will take a look at it and go from there. We've heard from many people about this, but that's how you can get in touch with us if you want to share your thoughts. This article comes by way of, let me grab my little mouse here and go again. It's from a website called Essential Japan. Here is the headline. KFC Japan to open special Christmas-themed restaurant for 2025 holiday season. Nervous. A new limited-time pop-up restaurant experience is being launched by KFC Japan to celebrate the holiday season. Quote, the KFC Christmas restaurant is the brand new first ever restaurant of its kind and is maybe one too many, Calvin. By the way, this is Essential Japan with James Richardson has the byline. It says here, it is scheduled to open at Tuesday, December. Oh, we missed it. I want to get a report now. Sorry. We should get someone on the show, Calvin. We should get him on the show and talk about what happened. KFC is synonymous with Christmas in Japan, and this new venture aims to provide a special, memorable dining experience for its friends and family. It featured a unique menu that transforms standard KFC items and limited edition holiday dishes into, quote, restaurant quality meals. they should all be restaurant quality, right? And when you put restaurant quality in quotes, that gives me a great deal of pause in and of itself. But we also are talking about KFC. That includes salads, pasta, and desserts, all created using KFC smoked salmon and coleslaw glass salad. That is actually, I'm not going to lie, that kind of looks really good. It comes with a beautiful cup, a four-layer salad using KFC's
Japan probably has it exclusive.
Weird. Why can't we do cream cheese? What else is there? KFC salty truffle. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm kind of on board with this. Bring the ka. And this is incredibly cheap too. These meals are like $10 and less. I am now jealous. This shouldn't be a thing in Japan. It should be a thing right here next to Tirad. They do it different.
They do it different. Yeah. I saw why KFC is so big.
By talking into a microphone that's not working. I want to thank the callers, the texters, the listeners, the watchers, everyone taking their time, giving us their time. It is appreciated. We adore you. Don't go anywhere. We got lots more programming ahead of us. Tom Hartman coming up after the news, and then followed by John and Gordy, then Pete Schwab with Nightlight. But we're going to be back live on Monday. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe, stay warm, stay tuned, stay informed, stay close. Have a wonderful weekend.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.